Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
It's the Duval Hot Takes Podcast, starring Sean Daly.
Life's so much better when everything's a drum. Everything's a drum. Everything's a drum. Everything's a drum. Goes ba-ba-bum-bum.
Pat Smith.
Please stop singing that. I'm already sick of it. I don't even know what the reference is. I don't care. I stop singing.
With Taylor Smith and Devin Mabe.
Plot twist. I am your sandwich.
Plot twist.
I ate it.
I enjoyed it.
Here we go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Duval Hot Takes Podcast, your favorite podcast for the Jacksonville Jaguars, brought to you by Big Cat Country and SB Nation. I'm Taylor Smith. I'm your moderator for the show. I'm joined by your hosts, Sean Daly.
Hello, Ms. Lady.
Pat Smith.
Hello, good sir.
And your facts and stats man, Devin Mabe.
Hello, my friends.
Today is Thursday, November 19th, and we are reeling from this Jaguars-Packers game. Right off the bat, I have to give huge props to our man, Sean. He catches a lot of shit for his crazy takes here on the show. We certainly gave it to him last week when he predicted a close 27-20 game against the Packers. Pat said, absolutely no way we get that close, but damn it if it didn't happen. 24-20. So, Sean, bragging rights are yours, my friend. I'm going to take it right to you. How do you feel?
Hey, man, you know, I knew we'd keep it close. I saw a lot out of this team against Houston, and I knew that they got a taste for a lead, and I knew they wanted to come out there, and they wanted to prove themselves. The biggest change I've seen in this team in the past 2 weeks is on the defensive side of the ball. All right, the defense has shown up last two games. Guess what? People aren't running on us right now. All right, this rush defense has been awful, getting torn up left and right. Pat and I have gone in on them about not tackling, about not stunning the interior line, not bowing up when they need to. Well, these last 2 weeks, they're bowing up. They're not snapping off those big 20-yard rushes anymore. Aaron Jones couldn't find anywhere to go. The Packers just rushed for 80 yards. Aaron Jones is one of the best running backs in the league, and the Jacksonville Jaguars said, nuh-uh. And you know what that tells me? That interior defensive line is stepping up. Davon Hamilton might just be a football player, y'all. All right, got his first sack, all right, against Green Bay, and he's getting interior pressure on the quarterback while also getting into the running backs in the backfield. I've seen a lot out of this defensive line, and I love it, okay? Offensive side of the ball, it's a Doug Marrone-style offense, baby. We're just going to try to hide the quarterback for four quarters, and we're going to try to run the ball and hold the ball longer than you do and just wait for the clock to tick down. That's Doug Marrone's style of football. That's exactly how he wants to win football games. If he could draw up the perfect script for any game, it would be this game, quite honestly. He wants to punt better than you. He wants to run the football better than you. And he wants the quarterback just to do just enough to win the football game. And that's exactly what the best of Jake Luton's going to be. I mean, I've got so many takes about this game. I don't want to get way out in front of everything. I want to give Pat a chance to react, but you know, I knew we'd keep it close. Jake Luton 2-0 against the spread. I was wrong about Visca. You know, I thought he'd play. I thought he was a gamer, but you know, obviously the injury's a little more serious than I thought. But you know, Keelan Cole, next man up, stepped up, made plays. He's in a contract year, my man. Keelan Cole wants to be on a team next year. He doesn't want to be bagging groceries. He wants to be on a team next year, and he's earning his next contract. Whether it's 1 year, $4 million, or 2 years, $9 million, or whatever his next contract is, he's earning it on this team. And I love it. All right, Pat, we got a long way to go. I'm going to throw it to you. What do you think?
Yeah, you and me are going to start off on the same foot here. Surprisingly enough, this defense, which has probably been one of the worst defenses I've seen on this team in a long time, is stepping up in the interior D-line. You're holding up the running game, like you mentioned. Aaron Jones, a guy that usually stabs defenses for 100 yards a game. Like, easy. No problem. That's a done deal. Didn't happen this game. Couldn't get off. Couldn't find a hole. Couldn't get any separation. Devon Hamilton, a guy I think both of us were really huge on in the draft. Honestly, I think that was the first pick I liked out of the entire draft, if I remember that recap correctly. Really, really stepping up in a position that needs it more than anything on defense besides, you know, your secondary. So he really came in his own. He got his sack as well this game, so you love seeing that. Yeah, I mean, it's not completely perfect, obviously. You did hold Green Bay to three punts to start the game, which is phenomenal because you're coming from the beginning of the year where that first drive was guaranteed 7 points every single time, and that didn't happen this week. You kept them under 30 points this week.
What the Jaguars did on Sunday, Pat, what the Jaguars did on Sunday, that's as good as you can play Green Bay,
yeah,
in my
absolutely.
Opinion. That's as good as you can play.
I was going to even say Devontae Adams. I mean, he had a solid game. He had 66 yards and a touchdown. So that's about the ceiling if you're going to keep him in a box. If you're going to be able to get him in a box, I mean, now you look down the tape and you see Marquez Valdez-Scantling got him a create a career game this week.
Mr. Hyde showed up at a number 2-3 on the Jaguars.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. He knew that Devontae Adams, one of the best receivers in the league, was coming, and he was motivated for it. He said, I'm going to play well. This guy's one of the number one receivers in the league. He's having a crazy year. He showed up motivated, and that's C.J. Henderson. That's it. That's Mr. Hyde right there. You know, that's angry. That's angry C.J. Henderson out there balling. And not the guy we saw in Houston lined up against Will Fuller.
Right.
All right. The guy I see lined up against Devontae Adams, that you saw him, he was tackling. He was flying. That's the guy. String those games together, my guy. And I promise I will get off your back. I promise. I will shut up. Eat all the crow, bro. I will eat it.
Also had a forced fumble this game.
Yeah.
Got a turnover.
Yeah.
Miles Jack scooped that up. And off that turnover, they scored 7 points off of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are highlights on this defense to look at. And again, this isn't something that I think either one of us don't think can happen. I mean, this defense has young, raw talent. When given the proper motivation and the proper leadership, I think you really could make a run. The proper scheme and the proper motivation can really make this team stand out on the defense. Now, you're not all there. You could still use more pieces. You hope to get that next year with the cap and the draft picks. But overall, you have a lot of raw intangibles on this defense that, you know, I like. I really do like moving forward that could be used as key pieces. Man, I gotta say, I hate to say this, but the performance between this week and last week, as Sean's mentioned, night and day on this defense, I'm kind of worried that these games are getting too close to where we get to that offseason.
No.
And we're looking at these head coach, you know, looking at Doug Marone, you're looking at Todd Walsh, and the idea is, you know what? Your Gardner Minshew went down with an injury. You kept these games really close, you know? You could have won 5-6 of these games by touchdown. I think it was just a bad year. You didn't have an offseason. You didn't have a preseason. You know what? Let's come back next year and build it back up and run it back again. Because I'm telling you, man.
If that happens, podcast is done.
Listen, I don't know what to think anymore, to be honest with you. Because I didn't think we were going to get it done against Houston, okay? We kept it close. I didn't think this was going to be close at all in Green Bay. I thought this was going to be a slobber knocker. And I have no problem admitting that I was wrong. I have no problem in saying that. But if these games continue to trend this way, okay, where you're losing games, but you're losing by 3-7 points against guys like Green Bay and Baltimore and the Steelers and, you know, the upcoming cast that you're playing, there's going to be some talking in the offseason, and they're going to look around. They're going to say, can we really have done better with other coaching staffs? I mean, again, we don't have a very intelligent front office, okay? So the question is going to be, yeah, let's do it again. Let's do it again next year. We can get more pieces. We got more money. We'll run it back next year and see what we can do. That's my only concern. I love the performance. I really do. I love seeing the fight. I really do. I'm not one that enjoys losing. Trust me, you can ask anybody, anyone that knows me. I'm probably one of the most competitive sons of bitches out there. Me sitting at 1-8 is killing me right now. It's fucking killing me. For a guy that loves to talk shit to anyone and anything, if there was a 5-year-old wearing a Green Bay Packers shirt, I was going to give him fucking shit all week long. Okay? I don't give a fuck if he didn't understand English. I'm still giving him shit. Boo, you crying, you hungry? Fuck you. Fuck you, Green Bay. Okay? Cheesehead. Okay? I'm still giving him shit. But I can't do it now. I'm 1-8. I'm losing ball games. I can't do it. I want to be good. I want to be great. I do. I really do. But I don't want this staff back. And I think we need to start losing by a lot more. We need to dial down the motivation a little bit.
No.
Okay? I need to see spankings.
They're done.
I need to see onslaught.
They're done. The coaches have done. Pat, I'm here to ease your worries, man. There's no way they're coming back. I'm telling you right now.
I hope so. I really do. I really do hope so. I hope this is just a time clock. We're just running the sands.
This type of game.
The hourglass has been flipped. When all the sand is gone, they're done. And that's what I'm hoping for. That is what I'm truly hoping for. But man, I can't lie that it's in the back of my head.
This type of game is our perfect scenario, man. We lose. The players show a lot of fight. They show a lot of growth. The talent starts rising to the top. This is exactly what we want to see, baby. That's it. All right. First off, my biggest takeaways. Let's get down to some analysis. All right. Jake Luton is exactly who I saw on tape in college.
Yes.
If you watch every last one of his throws, it is a three-step drop.
Mm-hmm.
His head does not move.
Nope, first read.
And he will stare down that receiver until he's ready to throw it.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened on that Adrian Amos interception.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And if you think, here, a little sneak preview. If you think Mike Tomlin, he's got 2 weeks of tape on Jake Luton now.
Yep.
Right, and if you're telling me that Mike Tomlin's not watching that tape and telling Micah Fitzpatrick to follow his eyes,
salivating.
Jake Luton's gonna throw 4 picks against Pittsburgh. All right? I'm gonna put that out there, dude. Micah Fitzpatrick will follow his eyes until the end of time. Pittsburgh's got the number one rush defense too.
Yes.
So James Robinson, it's gonna be bad. But that's a little neither here nor there. So that's my first takeaway. Second takeaway is we got to stop cock blocking James Robinson. All right. 2 touchdowns called back for penalties, man. That's not cool.
Right?
Not cool. And one of those touchdowns was the difference in the ballgame. That touchdown that got called back and we took the field goal. Score could have been 24-24, go to overtime. Oblong ball takes oblong bounces. Jaguars could have won the football game. That's my second takeaway. Third takeaway is Cheese McMuffin. All right, I got to say, Cheese McMuffin, he's a place kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's really stepping up big time. And
I was wondering where you were going with that.
He's the new, I don't know if you know this.
I was like, who the fuck
Cheese McMuffin
is that?
Is the newest kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. He came in, he did his job. And, you know, because Josh Lambeau is beloved here. And we've been going through a rigmarole of kickers, and finally we landed on the value menu, and we got Cheese McMuffin. And so now, and he's out there kicking the ball through the post, and that's what I'm talking about. So that's my number one savior. Logan Cook is cooking some eggs, and he had a hell of a game. He pinned him like 4 times inside the 10. That was nuts, playing the field position game.
Yep, flipping the field.
So that was fun. It was a really fun game. Miles Jack played well. CJ Anderson played well. I mean, Sidney Jones made a couple of great plays, but he got burned by Miles or Valdez Scantling, whatever the hell his name is, dude. Got burned by him. But other than that, it was great. Jaguars almost played a complete ball game. And if they had a healthy Gardner Minshew, they win that football game. But I don't know if that's a good thing, because then we're still sitting in purgatory of, you know, because you watch that Arizona game, and I don't care. You Josh Allen versus Kyler Murray, I don't care if I'm the losing team on either side of that. I'm happy.
Exactly.
I'm happy because I got a guy, and my team, we can score more than 30 points, and we're not playing this 1854 style of football where we hide our quarterback for 4 quarters. All right, I'm sick of the Doug Marrone style of football, and I'm sick of anybody listening to this that says, Sean, I don't care how we win as long as we win. Well, guess what? Fuck you. All right, I care how we win now. I'm sick of it. I don't want to win 10-6. I don't want to win 7-4. I want to win 38-36. I want to win one of these high-scoring motherfucking games. I want Kyler Murray. I want Josh Allen. I want one of these high-flying offenses. All right, I'm so done with the style of football that the Jaguars have been putting out for the past 10 years. I don't care if it's winning or losing. Even in 2017, when we went to the AFC title game. That was a shitty brand of football. It really was. You completely relied on your defense. It's an old hat thing. You're trying to win a title as the 2000 Ravens
mm-hmm.
or the 2003 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't happen. You gotta be able to score 30. You got to be able to score 30 points. Can this Jaguars team score 30 points? No.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Gardner Minshew in here, I think a healthy Gardner Minshew, you do win this ball game. It's a completely different ball game. Say what you want about the comparisons between him and Luton Futon. I think they're vast. I don't think they're as close as people think they are, and I think it's because you're plagued with the games you watched Gardner play this season, unfortunately. That's your front of your mind, and that's what you're thinking about. But I can assure you, man, the play style is completely different. It's a different kind of quarterback. It's Gardner Minshew has maybe what he lacks in awareness as far as pocket presence is concerned. He definitely makes up in reading plays, and I think he's got a better touch than Jake Luton does as well. So I think you're right. Winning though at this point in the game, as we're slowly getting separated from the pack, Giants are winning ball games. Gardner Minshew not playing, I think, is only going to help. Reach that positive takeaways. I mean, again, I'm gonna hammer it for the f-ing sixth week in a row. James Robinson, 23 carries, 109 yards. He's getting cock blocked, okay, with holding plays. I know Shaughnessy was one of them that was holding on one of those plays. Let my man eat. Let my man thrive. Again, though, if he scores those touchdowns, we probably end up winning the ball game. But regardless, it's a back. I believe he's also fifth in the league right now in rushing, and just rushing, not cumulative receiving and rushing. He's fifth in the league in just rushing, undrafted rookie, household name by the end of the year. I can assure you of that. And the guy just keeps eating. He just keeps fucking eating. Next week is going to be a huge test. We'll get into that against the Steelers. But for now, I mean, you as a Jaguars fan, you can't help but smile that you fell ass backwards into one of the biggest talents, I think, at running back in the NFL. You can't help but smile about that. Defensively, one of the more sure games we've played this year. Again, we mentioned earlier, holding Aaron Rodgers to 24 points is a godsend. That's great if you could do that, you know. A lot of weapons on this team. Scatling, man, broke loose for 150 and a touchdown. That's a little rough off of four catches. That was all he did, was four catches. I mean, and he did that damage. So you kind of box him in, you probably win that ball game. Miles Jack still having a hell of a year. CJ Hendo got back, forced fumble, showing that he can be productive in the right mindset. And obviously, Devon Hamilton, you know, big sack, first sack of the year for him. You only hope to see him scale up in production as well. I think Sidney Jones is solidifying himself as a corner. I got to go back and look at that coverage that he had on Scatling, but overall I think he had a good performance.
Scatling's just really fast. I mean, sometimes you just get burned.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's one of the hardest positions in the league, man, playing corner. It is, and I get it. So I think we're in a good position, man, honestly. I do. Moving forward, at least, we're in a good position.
Clavon Chaisson is not a defensive end, okay? He is an outside linebacker that we need to float. You take your index finger and you try to shove it through your keyhole, all right? That is like trying to make Clavon Chaisson a defensive end. He is not a defensive end, okay? We need to move in. We need to bring in somebody that knows to put people in the places where they can succeed. So that needs to happen.
Can I pause you right there real quick? There was a play that's going around that's showing actually it's more of Josh Allen than it is on Chaisson, but Josh Allen is getting off of a block, puts on a pressure to Aaron Rodgers, causes a bad throw, not a sack, but it is a pressure. But on the flip side, you see Chaisson about 4 yards away from the left tackle in this play, okay? This is exactly, he's got his hand in the dirt, but this is exactly why you should be playing him standing up, because he has space, right? He's not right under the tackle like a defensive end usually is. He's about 4 yards spaced out. He's really shaded out off of the left tackle. But as soon as the ball snaps, he gets up. So he's already a half step late, right? Because he's doing that motion getting up. But he splits the gap of the left tackle and the left guard because the left tackle starts to rotate in his back pedal. And he splits it. And with the speed, he's able to kind of maneuver. Because he starts on the outside and then he cuts inside as soon as that opening between the guard and the tackle open up. That's where he thrives. He thrives in space and speed. That's what he does. And if you give him the space, that's where he will succeed. So yes, just to hammer home the point, if you play him in an outside linebacker standing up on the line, give him the ability with some space to spin, move, juke. Because if he does that, he could be a talent on this defense. But okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, that's it. Clavon Chaisson, that's really, Clavon Chaisson is not a defensive end. I've seen enough on tape to know that he is a linebacker. And for us to continue to play him at defensive end is franchise malpractice. And we need to put him where he belongs.
Call Farrah and Farrah for franchise malpractice. We fight so you don't.
Some of the same usual suspects we've seen before, but still a very unusual game for us this past week. Our defense showed up in a big way, and not a moment too soon as we get ready to face Pittsburgh this Sunday. Let's get the break real quick, and when we come back, the Steelers come to town. Don't go anywhere, Duval Hot Takes. We'll be right back.
Don't spit out your drink. We'll be right back with some more Duval Hot Takes. Now go and get on.
Don't get out of here.
Hey, 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 your Duval Hot Takes have returned. As we mentioned in the first half of the show, our Jaggies grew up a little bit this past week. We are entering one hell of a storm here, though. The Packers were the first of seven, and now we welcome the Steelers. Pat, I'm going to bring it to you here to talk about a quote from the Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin. He was asked about the tall order, that is, an undefeated Steelers taking on a one-win Jaguars. And Tomlin said, don't rule us out. He said, we're always a rough-and-tumble matchup when the Steelers come to town. He said he's seen James Robinson. He's got a huge respect for his play style. Where is this coming from? I mean, of course you want to hear a head coach say, let's not get too cozy. But, Pat, do you think we might actually have a chance here?
Yeah, this is a 1-2 punch for you on Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, obviously a professional in the game, obviously 1-2 Super Bowls, undefeated team right now in 2020, against all odds, no preseason, no offseason. And remember, he's been losing pieces, big pieces the last couple years, primarily to his offense, has acquired a huge key piece in Minkah Fitzpatrick. With that said, the Jaguars in 2017 beat the Steelers twice in a year, okay? Out of division. So, you know, it's not like we're like the Browns or the Ravens that have the ability to play them twice. We're an outside division opponent, and we beat them twice, once in the playoffs to get to the conference.
We were originally in their division. We started out there.
Yes, you know? Originally. Yes. Before the realignment, yes, we were. And that was a big rivalry, too, back in the day. I mean, if you weren't around, it was
still
huge.
Still is.
Absolutely, still is. I mean, if you ever go to a Steelers game at home, there's yellow and black decked in that stadium. I mean, they travel. There's a lot of home-rooted fans here that go for the Steelers. They have a huge fan base, obviously, because they got the rings, they got the glory, they got it all. It's very easy to follow a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially in their heyday, the Steel Curtain, all that jazz. And a lot of Hall of Fame guys that came out of this team, so on and so forth. Regardless, in recent history, though, the Jaguars have, you know, kind of kicked the shit out of the Steelers and doing it at their home field as well. It's a tough pill for them to swallow as a fan base, knowing who we are and what we've done and lack of success, that we do have some of it against them. Whatever little bit of success we have is against them. So, again, those words are more of a professional aspect. But in the second punch that I was going to come in with is that this is your prototypical trap game. Right? This is where a team is sitting high at 9-0, leading the league, undefeated. Every game seems to be like you're walking on eggshells. You want to execute the small things. You want to make sure you obviously execute the big things. But every single play has to be taken into consideration. You don't want to mess up. You don't want to give a team like the Jaguars at 1-8 any kind of advantage to skip up or beat you on a bad week. Because at the end of the day, the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, they're fighting for that playoff week. They're fighting for that bye week. And you got guys behind you. I know Buffalo's sitting at 7-2. You got a couple teams, a whole bushel of teams sitting at 6-3 in the AFC that are just nipping at their heels, waiting for them to slip up. So that mentality is constantly in that Steelers locker room, I'm sure. But again, Tomlin, the professional he is, this is an atmosphere he's been in before. I mean, they were calling for this guy's name 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they didn't have this kind of success. So he roped it back up. He got the team back on his feet. He's going into this week. He's playing it at home in Jacksonville. It's an away game. It's a business trip mentality for that team. And I guarantee you he's echoing that in the locker room. He's saying, don't take these guys lightly. There is talent. I'm sure he does recognize the talent that we do have on this team. But at the same, and I know I've said this in weeks prior, this team is spades better than we are in a lot more departments than we are. They got us covered on all three facets of the ball. So, yes, that's what I think about that.
Can I say something real quick?
Hold on.
We got Devin coming in.
No. I already know what Devin's going to say. So I'm coming in first,
all right,
okay?
Well, let's hear it.
You said Mike Tomlin won two
Bill
Super Bowls.
Bill Cowher won the first Super Bowl.
Mike Tomlin technically
been to two. He's been to two.
Yes, he did go to two as a Steeler head coach,
yeah.
And he only won one.
Yeah.
But he did win another one as well, not as a Steeler, but as an assistant coach for the Buccaneers.
Devin.
So you're both right.
All right, so you got it.
Devin.
You got it. I like it. Hey, listen, the coming togetherness, everyone's on the same. I like it.
You know what?
You don't want to get your cutthroat. Devin's sitting in the dark.
I knew.
Just waiting and watching.
Fucking Mr. Burns hands.
That's it. He just waiting. In the shadows to creep.
Son of a bee sting.
Well, it's my job.
And it's his job. And that is why we keep him around.
You're right.
But you know what, Sean? Hey, that is a pro move by you. His steps coming. You're playing chess. You got to move your rook. You got to make a switch. And you don't want to get undercut. And I appreciate that. I love the fight.
I knew he was coming. I knew he was sitting there with his fucking battleship.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, God.
All right, but go ahead.
I think the Jaguars are going to get outplayed on one side of the ball. Very specifically on Sunday, and that's going to be the Steelers defense versus the Jacksonville offense. I think that Jacksonville defense is going to show up to play, but it's going to be hard to defend a short field.
Absolutely.
And I think turnovers will rue the day. I think Luton throws three more picks. I think Mike Glennon probably makes an appearance. I think the wheels come off the Luton train this week. And I just think now they've got 2 weeks of tape on them. And Minka Fitzpatrick sees that he doesn't move off his read. And they have the number one rush defense. So James Robinson will be a non-factor. And if James Robinson is a non-factor and we are relying on Jake Luton to throw, it is not going to go well against that secondary, against that pass rush. It's going to be bad. I'm talking 3+ turnovers. I would be shocked if Jacksonville doesn't turn the ball over at least 3 times. And that's going to be the day. I think the Jake Luton against the spread ends. I think now you bet Steelers to cover. I don't care what the line is. I think this is a blowout.
10.
Yeah, you definitely take the 10 points and run with it. I mean, that's generous. That line's going to go up. Bet that now. You know what? In fact, I'm going to bet it now. I'm going to pause the podcast. I'm betting that now.
You did take, listen, to be fair, you know, peek behind the curtain. You did say take the plus 14 with the Jaguars. They covered. They got you. They took care of you. Mm-hmm. And so now it's minus 10 for the Steelers this week. So
take that. I'm telling you, Sean's
over-under is 47.5.
Sean's bets. Don't touch the over-under because it could be a lot to a little, and it's gonna get close.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 35-7, so just be careful. 35-6, maybe. You got Cheese McMuffin comes in, puts two in there, you know.
Last week, they f***ed my parlay. I had the 47 points. I was 3 points short. I needed him to f***ing get one of those James Robinson touchdowns. We would have been good.
Exactly, you know. But if they are on the other side of the coin, if the Jaguars, if you want to ruin Tank Watch 2020, if you want to ruin it, make it this week. All right. I hate the Titans, but beating the Titans this year wouldn't be as satisfying as ending the Steelers' perfect season in Jacksonville, where there are way too many Pittsburgh fans. You touched on it earlier. Man, I can't stand Pittsburgh fans in that stadium. It makes my ass itch. It gives my balls a stink. It gets rough down below for Sean whenever he sees a Pittsburgh Steeler fan in TIA Bank. All right,
You should consult a doctor for that, man.
I just know what it is those terrible towels. They're terrible towels that I'm using are fucking giving me some kind of yellow and blackness. It's awful.
That's a manufacturing defect.
It's giving me what's called a Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now you're full circle. All right. Yeah, no, you're right, though. I tell you what, listen, I mean, we are getting, I mentioned this earlier, we are kind of spreading ourselves apart from the, I mean, the Jets were on a bye last week, so there was no way for them to show that they had a chance to win, but nor does it look like they will have a chance to win this year. But we have created some space. We can afford a win. And Sean's right. If we're looking at this schedule and we're going to squeak some stupid fucking win out of it, if we're going to make some stupid field goal with 20 seconds left just to win the ball game, or you know, ball bounces a weird way and we get another kickoff return. Well, it was a punt return last week by Cole. But if we get some kind of special teams return for some crazy backyard bullshit pitch and pitch lateral touchdown type occurrence, this needs to be the game. This is the one. Listen, when we did it in 2017, God, that away game was one of the best. It's definitely in my top two away trips of all time. Going through that stadium, seeing those fans, listening to them just bitch and moan at the end of that game was amazing. They wanted to retire Ben Roethlisberger that year.
Yeah.
After we beat them, after we beat them in the playoffs for the second time in that shootout, they were calling for Ben Roethlisberger's name. They were saying, "Yo, it's time to retire, bro. Get out. You can't beat the Jaguars. Fire Tomlin. Get rid of Roethlisberger." It was all over, man. It was insane.
Trey Crosby.
They were wanting these guys off the team. So the fact that it gets under their skin, and it's probably one of the most overreactive fan bases that I've ever seen in my entire life, watching them lose to the 1-8 Jaguars this Sunday would be... it would be chef's kiss. Yeah. Amazing. It would be all I would ever want. And then we can lose the rest of the year by 40 points. But again, that's maybe 5% of me. I truly think, and I know, you guys can play back the last 2 weeks. Pat, you've been saying we should be getting our asses creamed for 2 weeks now, and I ain't seeing no creaming. I got dry bread with no cream. And you're right. It's coming here, okay? This is the one. The other shoe's got to come down, okay? I don't know when it was going to come down, but this is definitely the one, all right? This has to happen this week, and they're definitely well-poised. But again, the trap game mentality is always out there. It's always floating around, and but I don't think this is the one. I think this is going to be a bad beat, and I think Sean's right.
Official score prediction. Official score prediction from Sean.
Official.
Yeah, I was pretty close.
Give it to me, Sean. You're hammering them, so let me hear it.
38-10, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, that's kind of what I had last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like that. I like that. I'm going to go 42-13. Yeah, I think it's a runaway train early, and I don't think you ever get back.
Speaking of a runaway train, mm-hmm. Before we end the podcast, I just want to go off the rails for just like a couple minutes because I have a hypothetical for you.
Ooh, love these from you. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Two questions. Jacksonville Jaguars somehow secure the number one overall pick, right?
Okay. Whew, what a winding road that season's going to end up. Okay.
Two options.
Uh-huh.
Trevor Lawrence or swap ones with Dallas for Dak Prescott.
Wow.
So you get to keep Dallas's first and you get Dak.
You wouldn't have to know where Dallas is picking right now off the top of your head, will you?
Three.
They're at three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I take that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I take that.
I was thinking the same thing, dude.
You give me, you give, you take that. I do hate the idea of drafting. Oh, Devin has just confirmed me. It's actually the fourth right now. Just so we're on the same peg.
Well, they're third with ESPN, but fourth with Tankathon.
Devin, we're gonna fight.
But listen, I do like that. Dak is a proven guy. I think he's gets a lot of shit on that team. I mean, he's played behind some of the greatest offensive lines in the league. But I think he gets a lot of shit inappropriately. But it's a guy that can. He's a franchise guy. It's what you want. He's a solidified guy. And if we keep Dallas's fourth, you go get me. You know, if that tackle
Kyle Pitts,
you get. Well, hold on. Now you give me that tackle from Oregon if he's there, Powell. You go get me him. And if he's not there, then you go get me Kyle Pitts. But yeah, I mean, that's best of all worlds. Now, I don't know what the contract looks like with Dak right now. That's my only concern. I know we have a ton of cap space.
He doesn't have
one. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's franchised. You're right.
Yeah. So Jacksonville would make him the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Whew, that's tough. I have to look at the numbers a little bit better at that. How old is he now? Do you know?
He's like, he's got to be like 27. 27, 26.
He's up there. He's got to be knocking on 30 here
That's
soon.
That's not old.
No, it's not old, but you know, he has had a couple injuries. 27, okay. He's 27, so you give him a 5-year deal?
Yeah, right? Give him a 5-year, $150 million deal. Boom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, that's a tough.
You know what?
It's hilarious. It's funny because it's the only reason I say it's a tough pill because, listen, I didn't like the Nick Foles contract. I didn't like the Blake Bortles contract. And Blake Bortles' contract was a lot less than the Nick Foles one. But when we gave $88 million to Nick Foles, I damn near threw up. That was disgusting. Yeah. I had diarrhea for 2 weeks straight, and I did not get out of it, okay? But 5 years, 150 with Dak. And you give him the pieces we have on offense. You give him a solidified offensive line. You give him a running back that's in the top five in rushing right now. You got Cole possibly coming back next year. Because I tell you what, Cole's coming up on contract year. Yeah. And I got to tell you, man, the way he's playing this year, he ain't playing to stay in Jacksonville. He's playing for a resume to find money elsewhere to be a number one somewhere or a competing number one somewhere. He ain't playing to stay here. But if you give him...
Are you ready to get sexually aroused, Pat?
I'm always ready.
Because bringing Dak to Duval pays for itself. You know why?
Why is that?
We get an identity, baby.
Yes. No, I mean, everything he brings into Jacksonville,
Wait for it.
Oh, you've already got...
Daxonville.
Oh, my God.
Daxonville, baby! Let's go!
You really want something new other than Saxonville. We're not getting the sack, so you need to get rid of that. So you go to Daxonville. That's cute. It'll sell t-shirts. I'm sure it will. But overall, you're getting a talent out of Dak Prescott that you easily going to be the best quarterback that takes a snap in this franchise. I do like the weaponry that he would have here in Jacksonville.
And you get to keep the pick.
Yeah, you solidify that offensive line. That'd be nice. That would be nice.
Just saying. That's a fun little thing. Now, we're going to have a long time.
That is fun.
We're going to have a long time.
Oh, we got plenty of time.
But yeah, that's just a little idea that I had, you know? We'll float it up on the
Twitter
page.
That was cute. That's one of your better ideas. I'll give you that. One of your better ideas.
Hey, boom.
Boom.
Jerry Jones, hit me up.
Jerry Jones world. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Send him over.
You think he doesn't want Trevor Lawrence?
I don't think he's... No. No. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say Dak Prescott. I don't think he wants Dak Prescott.
No, you would have signed him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he wants him. So I think Trevor Lawrence, why wouldn't he? A little golden boy, Trevor Lawrence in Dallas and Jerry World. I mean, the script writes
and
itself,
even if,
right?
If why? The Jaguars are at 2 and they're looking at Justin Fields, would you rather have Justin Fields or Dak Prescott? You know what I mean? Like, then you run to make that deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you,
right.
Boom.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Trevor Lawrence, you're thinking about it for a little bit. But I tell you what, if we do secure the number one, I fleece Dallas.
Yeah.
I rob that team.
Yeah.
If they want the number one spot, I fleece them. You get Dak.
Dak and then more picks.
Yep. Oh yeah. Give me another. Give me maybe another. Another two. And maybe whoever their guard is. Let me get a guard.
Zach Martin.
And yeah.
Zach Martin, the best guard in football.
No, well, give me the other one. Give me the other one.
Still better than what we got.
I'm a stay. Yeah. I mean, I've seen boulders play better than what we got at right guard.
I love the play-by-play commentator. He goes, AJ can't do that. He said. Get called for a hold.
The script writes itself.
That was great.
We're at the point where we're coming up with interesting hypotheticals for the offseason, if that tells you where our heads are at as we enter week 11. A very interesting hypothetical, though, Sean, but let's not rule out the Steelers game. As you guys said, anything can happen, and if we win one more game this year, let it be this one. We'll see how it goes down here at home on Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us in this episode of the Duval Hot Takes podcast. I'm Taylor Smith, moderator.
Sean Daly, host.
Pat Smith, and co-host.
Devin Meme, facts and stats.
Win or lose, you'll hear from us again next week. But in the meantime, be sure to check out our Twitter at Duval Hot Takes. You can see our takes a little earlier there, maybe some live reactions to the game. Hit us up and let us know your candidate for the Create a Career Award, and we'll shout you out here on the show. Until next time, peace.